I just keep going back to it anyhow. I'm trying to preach Sunday morning, go through 1 Peter, and I found myself turning to Colossians. I need to stop doing that. I've done enough studying in Colossians. I need to go over to do the other one. But Colossians has been such a blessing to me personally, and I just want to share some of that with you tonight. I'm going to read a small passage out of here, and then we're going to be looking at a bunch of other parts, too, of the book. We'll start with verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Just that passage right there, if I said drinking from a fire hydrant, think of how much is in there, how much has been that Paul said in that short amount of time. But the book of Colossians was written by Paul from prison, one of his prison epistles, to this group of people who he probably really didn't know personally, that many of them. He'd met a few of them, but he'd never been to Colossae. He had somebody come, likely from Colossae to Ephesus, likely this Epaphras, who's mentioned back in verse 7, and he was led to the Lord, and he went back and started the church after Paul's teaching of him. He was a student of Paul's, and he likely started the church there. Well, this man had come to Rome with some news from the Colossian church of some potential problems, some heresies that were already there, which already, even at that early time, had already started to plague the church. And so what does Paul do when he hears about these potential problems of the church? He writes him a letter, but it's how he constructed this letter I found very interesting. At the very beginning, of course, he gives his normal greeting, Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ, and so forth, to the saints in Colossae, grace and peace, etc. Pretty normal greeting. He jumps in, though, says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." So he hears about the false teachers. He doesn't jump them about that, say, "You guys need to look out." He starts out by letting them know how thankful he is to hear about their faith and where they are, not the problems that are starting to come in. He's thankful for their faithfulness that they've already had. He starts out encouraging them, and he lets them know in the next section. I'm not going to read it, but I urge you to read through this multiple times, beginning in verse 9 through 14, the section right before what we read. Read through that, and read through it again later tonight, this beautiful prayer that Paul prays for the Colossian church. I mean, it's just, this is his desire for them, that they may, all these things, that how they may grow in the Lord, and how he explains that to them. And just, we pray for one another, and we pray for the physical needs that we have, and we should. We should do that. That is very biblical to do from other parts of Scripture. But do we pray this prayer for one another, for our brothers and sisters, for our body of believers here, our church, and others that we're connected with? But do we pray this prayer for them? That was a challenge to me studying Colossians, to look at that prayer and echo that for my brothers and sisters in Christ around me, that this may be what God is doing in our lives, in your lives. And so Paul builds up to that. And then the part that I want to focus on the most tonight, before we look kind of over the rest of the book too, but is the part that I read. And the next thing that Paul does, before going in and addressing the heresies, he reminds them of who Christ is. He settles them in. And it has been said by more than one commentator that I've read in my study of Colossians that Colossians is the most Christ-centered book in the New Testament. That's saying a lot compared to the Gospels that are talking about his life and everything, but think about what Colossians is teaching here. That passage we just read and how it tells about who Christ is and giving him what? The preeminence of Christ, putting Christ first in all things. And so Paul's reminding them of who Christ is, and they need to know that first before they look at the heresies that are bothering them. It was very important that he brings them back to that. And I think for us to apply that today in the 21st century, I think we need to keep doing that too. When we guard against listening to something that we might pick up somewhere, pick up a book, listening on the radio, whatever it might be, we're not going to hear it in this church, that stuff, that false teaching, but guarding against it. What do we need to do? We need to come back to who Christ is. Because what does false teaching always attack first? The doctrine of Christ, right? It always cheapens who he is. Because if you can attack the Savior, make him less than who he is, you've got him. And Paul reminded them of that, brought it back to that. Also, another thing to remember, if you attack who Christ is, that might not lead us into heresy, but it also, what does it lead us into in our practice in our lives? If we're not keeping Christ first in our lives, we're not going to go into heresy. You know, we've got that down. We've got that guarded safe, you know, to do that argument. And maybe that's the case. But are we still keeping him first? Are we giving him the preeminence in all things? To look at that, as we look through Colossians here, how Paul reminded them of that. Come back to this. Start here. Here's your foundation, everybody. Remember who Christ is. The image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation, created all things by him and for him. Let's jump over to Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, and says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." So, after Paul reminds them of who Christ is, then following section, he kind of reminds them of what Christ has done for us. And then he starts addressing the false teaching. But right in the middle of addressing the false teaching, he brings them back to who Christ is once again. He puts that foundation back there, doesn't he? He keeps bringing that in throughout the rest of the book. That is what is so important. You're going to know how to avoid the false teaching. You're going to know how to avoid these other things by focusing on Christ and who he is, what he's done for us. So he reminds of what Christ has done, and then he addresses the false teaching. How many times do you hear things along the line of beware? In verse 8 of chapter 2, the idea of looking out, being on guard, let no one spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Idea of spoil, we don't use that word quite the same way, but you think of, you know, the Vikings would come and spoil a city. It's that idea. It's robbing it. It's taking it away, a robbery, a theft. And it's those false teachers, that wrong thinking will take away what we have in Christ. It will take away our joy. It will take away our reward. Now, we as believers, we're not going to lose our salvation, but we're going to lose the things that we have in him. We can risk cheapening our joy and our peace, those other things, if we are not focused on him and giving him the preeminence. And so throughout the rest of the book, I find it very interesting that Paul comes back to that again, reminding them. Get over into chapter 3 then. He starts out in verse 1, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth." And he goes into these things. But he reminds them, if you are in Christ, could be translated, since you are in Christ, because you are believers, this is what needs to be coming next. This is what needs to come out of your life, church. And he's reminding this body of believers there in Colossae and us today, since you're in Christ, what does your lives need to look like? And he goes through chapter 3, tells us, starts out with, put to death these things. Names them all off. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The next verse there, put off all these. Names all these things, anger, wrath. Do not lie to one another. Put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Verse 12, put on tender mercies. Verse 14, put on love. And it's a very active thing then, isn't it? But we don't start with the actions. Paul doesn't start with, do all these things. Where does he start? He starts with, remember who Christ is and what he's done with for you. And so my biggest message for us tonight, and that I'm taking away from Colossians, having the opportunity to study through that, is since we've believed in what? Putting Christ first. Since we have these things, because we know who he is. And so I really want to urge you to look into Colossians more. Lord willing, maybe someday when I get here, we'll do it together. Don't know what the Lord has in store for that. But just, like I said, the idea of giving Christ the preeminence in our life. Think about it in our own lives. What do you put first every day? What's your priorities? What are my priorities? This book has challenged me to think through those things, where I'm, what I take is priority. And priority is not just what I do all the time, how I live my day, but where my thoughts go in my free time. Right now, where I'm working, a lot of times I have a lot of free time of my thoughts because the job that I do is stand and make sure the machines are running. And if everything is running all right, we're not doing a lot. They have different things to kind of, every so often we empty a bucket type of thing. But there's not a lot of deep thought involved in that. And it's loud, and so we can't stand and talk quite as much. So I have a lot of time alone with my thoughts. Well, where do my thoughts go? I got to remind myself of that. Is Christ preeminent in my life, in my thoughts, in my actions? What do I do with my spare time when I go home and sit down and at the end of the day have some free time? And is there anything wrong with sitting down and putting your feet up and doing something just for fun? No. That's not what I'm saying, that we need to constantly be, you know, always have an open Bible in front of us. But what is the priorities in my life? You know, the priorities, spending time with him, having him preeminent in my life. And even along with that, even the fun things that I do in life, is Christ preeminent in that? Does it influence what I take in through social media, through any other media that's out there? Does it influence how I'm taking that in? How I view that? The Christian life is very practical in the end. We should see a marked difference because of what Christ has done in our life. And the more we know who he is, what he's done for us, and keep him, give him the proper place, that preeminence, the more that should show out in our life, shouldn't it? And so, as I said, this is what Colossians has been showing me these last couple weeks of spending time there. And It's an opportunity to share a little bit of that with you guys tonight, how much of a blessing that's been, and encourage you to look at the rest of the book, particularly some of these other passages that I mentioned, that prayer that we can have for one another there in Colossians 1, like 3 through, 9 through 14, and read that and pray that for this body of believers, for one another, that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom, spiritual understanding, and so forth. Why? Because Christ is who he is. He is God incarnate. He is the firstborn of all creation. He what? Upholds all things by the word of his power. He said that the universe hold together. And we're dependent on him. And because of that, what do? It shows in our lives, right? It makes a difference in who we are. So, challenge you in the days ahead to think of that and spend a little time in Colossians in your devotions. Maybe if you don't have something right now, if you are, save it for when you're done. Mark it down. Colossians is next. I've really enjoyed getting into this book. It was just kind of, dare I say it, on semi-whim, just because in the past I know I've enjoyed it in prison epistles class that I took in college, that Colossians was one of those books. And I think it's been neglected a lot, unfortunately, in places that I've been to hear it preached. And so I said, let's do Colossians next. Everybody's like, so we don't care. Go for it. And I wondered what I got into the first chapter, but it's been good. And so, like I said, want to encourage you to look into that and to remember these things that I mentioned tonight about giving Christ the preeminence in our lives. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this time to be here. We thank you for your word that we could look at briefly and how the message is consistent throughout your word. No matter where you turn, you can find what we need in life and apply it today, right where we are at. 2,000 years after it was written, it is still applicable, and we thank you for that. Bless our time together in fellowship and prayer, and the rest of our week as we finish out. In Jesus' name, amen.